All right, everybody. Today we have the one and only, the amazing, the badass, Cadence Lux.
You know what time it is.
There we go.
That was good. Worth the redo.
See, awesome. All righty. So you and I just wrapped up a shoot. I had someone the other day that actually commented on this and was like, you know, I think the dynamic's a little different from having someone come in and do a podcast opposed to someone who came from a shoot and does a podcast, because you're different. Because if you come in here and you like took time out of your day and we go have lunch and then we still do a podcast, opposed to we just got through doing really dirty shit to each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
The dynamic's a little different.
Yeah, it definitely is. There's more tension.
Right. Or inspiration.
Yeah, that too. Either one.
So let's start with this. Congratulations on your AVN nomination.
Oh, thank you.
I was like, oh, look at her go.
Thank you. Yeah, this is, I think, really the first year I've gotten nominations.
Really?
Yeah. So I was pretty stoked on getting one that had to do with acting, because that's like, I like to act. So right. The fact that people are now seeing that I, in fact, can do that and I'm getting recognition for it is really cool. So thank you.
Right. Thank you. You've also been, well, let's first tell everybody what it's for. Because what movie? Because I'm like a plug away. Let everybody get their stuff out.
Right. So the AVN nomination that I got was Best Actress for a Featurette. And that was for a company called Pure Taboo.
Right.
And it was a scene called Bad Samaritans, which I did with Seth Gamble and Charles Dara. I had to really think about who it was with for a second.
That sounds like a hell of a fucking combination.
It was fun. And, you know, to be honest, I thought it was a great scene. So this isn't me like knocking my own shit. I didn't expect that one to be nominated, but it also snagged up a best sex scene featurette for XBiz nomination too. So apparently people liked it. I guess I just expected more thing. You know what I mean? Like right. It was not something I expected to see on the list when I got nominated. I was like, huh, all right. I was good, but I didn't expect that.
I didn't see that one coming.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But either way, it's still cool. Like, obviously, it's one of those things where everybody's like, that's so cool. Are you going to, like, my civilian friends are like, you're going to win, right? And I'm like, never. But it's still cool to have my name on that list of the people, you know?
You never know, though.
You don't, but like, you kind of do.
My first time I got nominated was, for my own stuff. Like, stuff I've worked on has been nominated. But it was my stuff and I got nominated and I was in my head. I'm like, this would be so good, but there's so many other people doing this. And then I got it and was like, oh fuck. Like people running up to me at AVN. They're like, oh my God, you got it. You got it. I was like,
so you won it.
Yeah.
And you didn't expect to.
I didn't. In my head, I was, and when I even did the project, I was like, that AVN's mine. But that was me believing in myself. And my theory has always been that if you believe in yourself enough and you've convinced yourself that this is going to be this way, then everyone following you and working with you and doing the things is going to believe in it as much as you do.
Oh, totally. Manifestation.
Manifestation. No. But to actually 100% think that I had it in the bag. No, I didn't think I had it.
Yeah. I feel like I'm like that too. Like I try to be like, all right, that was badass. But I always have a touch of like realisticness with mine. Like I'm like, yeah, it was great. But there's also really other great things that are in that category.
Right.
You know? So, but either way, like I said, it's cool to have that. This is kind of my first year that I'm being recognized for things. So
right.
That's cool. It only took me like 6-7 years. No digs. I'm not digging at anybody. I'm just saying, you know, just guess it took me some time to blossom into myself. Maybe that's the thing.
But you know, I had Lance Hart on here.
Love him.
Not too long ago. He's pretty much of a badass. And him and I were talking about this friend of his who has got less than 10,000 followers on Twitter. I don't even think he has an Instagram game. And he is the top male performer, period.
Wow.
He has got billions. I think it was billions of views. Like it's ridiculous. And he doesn't go on Twitter talking about it. And he tells the story of how he called him one day and he was like, hey, dude. He was like, how you doing? He was like, man, I'm so fucking stressed out, man. And he's like, what's wrong? And he was like, this new fucking Lambo, it doesn't have the doors that go up. They just open up normal. And he sat here and told him this whole thing. But then he was like, this is rich. He's like, don't get fucking wealthy, dude. It's not fun. You have to deal with stupid shit like this.
No.
And but he knew he was being stupid.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
But yeah, he's a good-looking guy, and he just bangs girls. But he sat down and put in the work and figured out what it took, and he keeps his nose down, and he just works, and no one's recognizing him. No one's talking. He's not getting any fucking awards.
I think I know exactly what you're talking about now. Now that we're
I can't think of his name off the top of my head, but it was just, we sat here and looked up and pulled up his stats, and just billions of fucking subscribers, billions of, and it's all just, he's just making it and giving it away.
Keep at it, I guess, you know.
And keep your nose down and fucking go to work. So.
Exactly.
And that's when I heard that story, I was like, you know what? The awards make it fun and it makes it feel like you've validated something. Yes. But at the same time, it's like, if we were all doing this just for validation, we'd all stopped a long time ago,
exactly.
I think.
Exactly.
I feel like.
I agree. Especially if I was doing it for validation, shit, I would have gone a while ago. But yeah, I feel like the smart people in this industry don't do it for validation.
No.
They do it because you want to do the things you're doing.
Yeah, we do it because we love it.
Yeah.
So what have you been doing lately? Because I know it's not like you made one movie, you got an AVN nomination, that was it. Like, you've been doing things. Sorry.
Yeah, I've been doing the things. I think this is, like, again, the first year I'm really getting kind of feature roles casted to me. I've been doing a lot of girl this year. Like, I think finally, you know, whatever. For whatever reason, people are realizing that I really like girls. So I've been doing a lot of that. Besides that, you know, I feel like when people ask me that question, I always realize how actually boring I am. I'm like, when I'm not shooting, I'm home hanging out with my dogs, usually binging a Netflix series like in one day. Like, right. I live a pretty normal, boring life outside of shooting. Like, people are always like, what do you do when you're like off for 3 weeks home? I'm like, watch things. Like, I don't do very much. I go to a lot of concerts and stuff. So yeah, I've just been doing all that. Like, I'm trying to think since the last time I saw you what has happened. Things.
Well, I know that you've been doing, like you said, a lot of the girl stuff. You work with a friend of mine, Serena Blair. I love her.
Yeah.
You guys have been doing a lot of stuff together.
We did a really cool thing together recently that hopefully next year for ABN it will be up for something, because it was so funny. We did a weird science spinoff.
I fucking saw that. You guys with the big rim fucking glasses.
Dude, it's hilarious. Literally, like, the head of the company reached out to me and was like, I just want to say thank you because you took that to the next level. Because Serena played the more nerdy, reserved one in that scenario. And I played the friend that was like, I've totally banged chicks. What do you mean?
Like, they live in Canada.
Yeah, yes, exactly. And I played it up even throughout the whole actual scene. Like, I tried to stay in character. So they liked it. And Serena's fun to work with.
Right.
She's great.
She is. She's awesome. I don't know if you know this about her, but she's also like you. She is a serious badass.
Really?
Like, she is a hardcore bottom. Like, she loves to play rough.
I can believe it. I mean, I've seen like snippets of her stuff with you. Like I said earlier, I'm a creep. I feel like I see all my friends. Like, I'm always like, what did she do? Like, watch the trailer.
I'm the same way.
Yeah. So I know when I was talking about a GIF this morning on Twitter, you're like, oh, like, you already
saw it.
That
one on Twitter? Yeah, I saw that one. So let's circle back. Netflix, you said you binge. What's the last thing you've binged? What's the last thing you binged that you enjoyed, I should say?
Wentworth. I got so into Wentworth. So it's the show about this Australian women's prison. Mm-hmm. It's not real. Like, it's obviously, it's not.
I was like, let me start typing more
notes. It sounds hot.
Porno ideas.
Right. No, it's right. No, but it's really good. Like, a lot of, almost like I described to people, Orange is the New Black, but not corny. Okay. Like, Orange is the New Black is a good show, but it's like, it's corny. It's got the like heartfelt. This is like some badass bitches shanking each other and doing crazy things. So I liked Wentworth. I feel like there's something else I just watched that I really liked, and I can't think of what it is.
I love Google and the way they listen, because I just typed in WEN. It was like Wentworth.
Are you serious? Yeah. Creepy. Love it.
Wentworth Prison. Wait a minute. No, this is.
It's
this
probably is a real prison that they based it off of, I'm guessing. But
this is a drama from 2013. Seven seasons. Is it that old?
Oh, it's that.
That
it's
is
good.
It?
Yeah. Oh. It's good. I didn't, thought my, like, so actually my mother was the one that was like, you got to watch this show.
Right.
And I'm like, oh man, doesn't really sound appealing to me. Like, she's like, oh, it's about it. I'm like, that sounds stupid. And then she's like, kept harping on me. Like, you got to watch it. It's so good. Finally, watched it within the first episode. I'm like, I'm pretty sure I was crying already. Like, I was just already like, holy shit, the show is heavy. Like, it's one of those you get attached to shows.
Okay.
But I'm always watching Shameless. It's my favorite show.
That the girl, the lead in that girl,
Fiona,
the young things I would do to her.
Same.
If you're a fan and you're listening, call me.
And then call me after.
Yeah. Call me and I'll call her.
No, Lip is mine. The the oldest sibling.
He's a cool motherfucker. Like, watching that show, like, he seems... And plus, he's fucking everybody.
Everybody.
I haven't watched this in years, except you. Or me, as a fuck me. Of course, he hasn't called either, so...
I literally saw him walking in Hollywood with his girlfriend once and was like... like, my whole...
Lap!
I did it. I was driving at the time, and I literally had my mom on the phone. Shouts out to my mom. Second time bringing her up. I literally had her on the phone, and I'm like, I'm driving, and they're walking down the street towards, like, the way I'm, like, driving this way. They're coming this way, and I'm like... She's like, what? What's wrong? I'm like, Lip. I just saw Lip walking. She's like, you better pull that car over and go. And I'm like, no, you can't. She just doesn't get it. You can't bug. You know, the Hollywood life. Like, I'm used to it now. You can.
It's just, it doesn't go well for anyone.
But what was I supposed to do? Stop in, like, mid-traffic and be like, everybody, fucking stop your cars.
Oh, no. What you should have done is, like, mom, take the wheel and slide over here because I'm jumping out.
She was on the phone. I was by myself.
You should reach over and slap it. Bam, mom, I need you to pay attention. Lip's out here.
I just jump out of the car as it's moving. Like, just let it go. Yeah, no, but so I saw him. Once. Yes,
and he's
it
pretty
was,
cool.
It was pretty
but Fiona,
cool.
Fiona, though? Oh.
Yeah, she's so fine. And she's not on the new season.
Spoiler alert, bitches.
Oh, shit. Yeah, that's well, right. But it's pretty well known. Like, I feel like she made an announcement before they even did it. Like, okay. Oh, this is my last season. Like, last season. So, but when they take away the main characters, you got to think they're coming back at some point.
You would think. But I don't know. Like I said, I haven't watched it since. I'm trying to remember. What was one of the last things? Because it was one of those things. I'm like, why am I paying for Showtime?
Yeah, that's if what I.
I'm only watching this show. Like, I didn't watch the movies. I have Netflix. I have Prime. I have all this. The
you don't
things.
Need the other shit.
I don't need it.
Yeah, I get
and
it.
And I could probably, I guess, look at these and find them on demand somewhere else. But
yeah,
I haven't watched it in 4 years, maybe 3 or 4 years.
It's good, but I get it because I have a lot of friends that are like. Dude, it's just too much. Like, it's too much shit. I got like people that haven't watched it at all, and I'm like, you should start it. They're like, yeah, but it's too much. I'm like, I get that. It's
but you get to see Fiona's tits in almost every fucking season at least 5 times.
Yes, you know what I'm saying.
And yeah, you get to see her not only naked, but you get to see her like
she's
very
banging.
Realistically fucking.
She's
or,
banging in them.
It's one of the only shows that I've seen that's not porn that actually has a 2257. Because the way you know all of our movies in the adult industry has the 2257 at the end that says, you know, all the people in this movie, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, really?
This is the only thing I've ever seen that has it that shows the 2257. And I'm like, that's how you know they're getting down because they're actually showing. And I don't know that maybe the other ones are slipping, but.
Weird.
Next time you watch it, watch the, especially if there's a hardcore Fiona fucking, watch and see at the end.
Hardcore Fiona fucking.
Fiona fucking.
Fiona double Fs. Yeah, no, it's a good show. It's just well, very, very well written. Very easy to, I feel like, relate to, you know. It's like not one of those, I mean, some of the outlandish shit that happens, you're like, okay. But
I think the last season, now that I'm thinking about it, I think the last season I watched, the young kid who was turning, like, thuggish, he was out selling drugs trying to prove himself. And Carl. I think then he got busted. Was it Carl?
Carl, yeah.
And then Carl got busted and was going to jail. I think there was something like something.
He was going to go to juvie or something probably.
Yeah, that's probably one of the last ones I watched.
Oh, so you're, yeah, so it was a while ago.
That's
yeah,
like I said, 3, 4, maybe 5 years ago.
Yeah.
But this one, I'm like, Wentworth Prison.
I think you should, I mean, I think that you should give it a couple episodes and see how you feel. Just because it's like, it's a heavy show. There's some things that are funny in it. There's some, but it's like, I'm like talking, I cried when I watched that show multiple times. And I'm not really easily a crier.
I'm a sucker, dude. I cry like a motherfucker. I was watching, I think I was talking about this recently. The newest show that I just binged was Rhythm and Flow.
Okay. Haven't heard of it.
It is, let me make sure. There it is.
Like, it kind of sounds familiar, but I don't.
It's a hip hop thing. Yeah, it's Rhythm Plus okay. Flow is what it shows. So it's and, but it's on Netflix, and it's got Cardi B, T.I., and Chance the Rapper as judges, and they go around, and it's a hip hop competition, but it's.
Okay, I've seen it.
It's like a hip hop badass version of what American Idol does for like pop. Blah.
But it was good. You like it?
Dude,
you binged it.
I binged it, and I'm a musician, and I played for years. And like, if I were to hit the lottery and could do anything in this world, I would. Start a record company and I would travel around to all these small venues looking for the next big person and then sign them.
Dude,
I wouldn't sign them to be like, I'm going to be a millionaire and make you the biggest thing. I'd sign them to give them a step to get their shit out there so they could move to take the next step. So it would be like a stepping. So if they want to stay with me, sure. But because I'm so passionate about music. So when these people got up there and were putting everything they fucking had into it. I was just like, this motherfucker's killing it, man.
Right.
Like, it was, and I wasn't like bawling, but it was like, it was so like the music was so fucking hardcore. And it was so good. Like, yeah, it got me.
That is some shit that does make me tear up though. If I watch, you know, like somebody will post on Twitter or Facebook or whatever, like a little check this 2 minute clip out of somebody with America's Got Talent, and the person comes up and you don't expect them to be awesome, and then they like
kill it.
And that's the shit that will make me like tear, you know, not like cry. Like, I'm talking, this Wentworth show had me like baby back bitch bawling. Oh, one episode, like I was literally like crying. Yeah,
see, I don't know if I can watch that. Might be too heavy.
No, and that's
the
thing, you should try,
because the music thing I think is like, you, it's when it hits you and you're so, it's like a happy, you're like, this motherfucker's killing it. Like, getting it gives it. You chills and you can't help but cry because you're so happy.
Yes.
This like sad, sappy shit. I stopped watching. The last time I watched one of those horrible movies that were, what I forget whatever they're called, but they're like, you know, the sad ones. They're like pull at the heartstrings, yes. Hallmark kind of shit. Sorry, yes. Not really. But anyway, the wife and I got married up in Chicago. And all of our friends came from L.A. They came from family from Atlanta, family from everybody came from everywhere. Mm-hmm. And we, you know, had the thing. So everyone was staying at the same hotel and it was really awesome. Good. And after the wedding, everyone had to go back. So we had the final night by ourselves. And of course, there's this little like, all of our friends are gone. So we were like, you know what? Let's snuggle up. We're newlyweds. Snuggle up and watch a movie. And she doesn't like any of the shit. Like, I like horror and thriller and
same.
And gross comedy stuff. I like good stuff. And she's like, let's watch Marley and Me.
Oh.
Okay.
Did you watch it?
We watched it. I swore that I would never watch movies like that again. I cried. So I'm like, why in the fuck would our friends all left and we have this like small little withdrawal syndrome going on now? And then you just made me watch this fucking dog. What the fuck is wrong? I was mad, man.
You know that I have never seen that movie.
Don't.
Because I fucking refuse it. Don't. I'm like, I can't watch it.
No, it's, I'm sure it's cute and people liked it for a reason, no, but it's like, I don't like that.
Not if it's going to make you cry. See, this isn't like that, like pull on your heartstrings. This is like really fucked up things happen that will pull on your emotions, but not like, this dog's gonna die or whatever. I don't even know what Marley and Me is about, but you know what I'm saying? It's not like one of those, it's not built to do that. It's just bad stuff happens that might make you emotional. Maybe I'm just emotional and it won't make you cry at all. Who knows?
I'm trying to think. There was one I started watching and it was a super deep thing. And I don't remember what it was now. I'll talk about it on probably another podcast. So we don't sit here and talk about Netflix the entire time.
I
know.
I could just go. We could just go.
But there was this great documentary, docu-series kind of thing. And I forget the name of it. I feel like a ship not seeing it. And to try and search it, I'm going to get quiet. And then everyone's going to just listen to us breathing. But it's basically about the kids that got accused of fucking raping and murdering a woman in Central Park in New York. I can't think of what it's called right now, but it's done so well. And it fucking, if anyone says they sat there and watched that thing and it didn't destroy them watching it, they're full of shit. They're have wrong, no fucking heart, because it is such a deep, hardcore, like it puts you in there and it was more relatable. It kind of peels all the layers back and you really have to fucking, the director kind of forces in a bad way, but forces you, like, you have no choice if you watch this, but to be like, fuck. And it makes you step out of, especially as white people, to step back and go, just some fucking shit right here.
Yeah. Relatable with the victim or with the...
No, not fuck. No, the victim. No, the kids, because the kids were wrongly accused.
Oh, they're wrongly accused. Got it.
Wrongly accused. All right, let me see. Oh, now I'm going to have to look it up.
Yeah, you're going to have to. I want you to look it up because it sounds like something I'd like. Almost like, because I love that true crime shit, even though that's probably not true crime, but you know what I mean, like I watch way too much Law and Order SVU and Criminal Minds for my own good.
Sorry, I'm trying to do this and that's why I need a producer.
Just write wrongly accused Central Park.
Yeah, that's what I should do. Central Park 5 prosecutor, let's see, come on, show me. That's the one. I just need to figure out. But that's what they were, the kids were called, the Central Park Five. And it's just, and it goes through and tells you about, like, it follows it through the entire thing of how these kids were just fucking around. They were in the park doing this thing. Shit hit the fan. Somebody got fucked up and killed. And they just started snatching kids up. you know what? You're motherfucking guilty. And what about your friend? Like, there was one kid who went in to get questioned, and his friend was like, dude, we got to fucking, I'm going to come with you. I'm not going to let you go down there. Your mom's going to kill me if I don't go with you. And he just goes to support his friend. And they were like, you get the fuck over here too. And he's like, what? I'm just here with my friend. They're like, no, you're not getting here. And it was just this horrible, horrible shit.
And this really, did this really happen?
This is fucking very for real.
Jeez.
100%
yeah.
For real.
Yeah, the justice system, not so awesome.
It's, where the fuck is this at? I'm trying to find.
That's crazy. Can you imagine? Like, I've seen like some guy just got released, right? From doing like 40 years or some crazy 38 years or something for something he didn't do.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that? Like,
when they see us. That's the name. I'm sure that's anybody that knows it and listening. They're like, they're screaming like, it's when they see us.
Yeah, right? No, and it's on Netflix, you said?
It's on Netflix.
Because now that you say the name of it, I've definitely like scrolled it and seen the name. But yeah, can you imagine that? Like, I've thought about that before. Can you imagine going, 38 years is like
more than
half your life. Yeah. So it's like, can you imagine like something you know you didn't do and just like going and sitting every fucking day and waking up like,
not in hell.
Not to be dark. Me. Well, because like shit, a lot of those people just, they don't ever get the justice either. Like, this guy's lucky. I'm sure there's way more cases of people that just sit and rot in prison for shit they didn't do.
Well, like I said, these guys, little by little, I think they've all been released, and I don't know. So don't fucking go commenting and getting crazy and pissed off at me about this. I think they've all finally been, there may be one of them may still be in prison. I can't remember now, but it's
crazy.
It's just horrible shit. And the story's bad, but the people that do the acting in this, every fucking one of them should get every fucking award that you could possibly give. Like the writing, the directing, the everything. But the people that do the acting are just fucking mind blowing.
That always makes me wonder too, in that instance, was the person who actually did it found? Like, did they ever actually get the? Do you know what I mean? They were actually
the shithead.
Yeah,
as far as I know, they didn't.
It's fucking crazy, right?
Well, it was in a time that when it was 1989, a jogger was assaulted and raped in New York's. I thought she was killed. Maybe it was just rape. Jogger was assaulted and raped in New York's Central Park, and five young people were subsequently charged with the crime. The quintet labeled the Central Park Five maintain its innocence and spent years fighting the convictions, hoping to be exonerated. The limited series spans a quarter of a century from when the teens were questioned about the incident in the spring of 89 and going through their exoneration in 2002 and ultimately the settlement reached with the city of New York in 2014.
Jesus. Yeah, that's crazy. And like you said, I guess it's kind of before a time of like where we had heavily... Because I'm sure now there's cameras obviously everywhere. Yeah. So
everybody records shit too.
Exactly. And that was way before that. Like, I don't think in 89 there was street cameras all over or cameras all over Central Park.
Not like there is now.
So there's not, you know, back then it probably was way easier to be wrongly accused than it is now. Because now it's like, red receipts, motherfucker, pull up those cameras. It wasn't me.
Exactly.
You know?
Or you could just look at the tracking and be like, no. Right. But that was the thing, is they were hanging out in the park with their buddies.
Yeah.
Doing whatever. And then when the shit hit the fan, there was like something happened and a fight broke out and everybody got crazy. And while all the ruckus was going on, the fucking rape happened. And the unfortunate part is
wild.
It was some black dude.
Ugh. Of course.
So it was a shitty, horrible situation. But yeah, you want to binge?
I'm gonna watch it.
But get some tissue and get a blankie and maybe your favorite little stuffed animal.
Bring my pups along.
Yeah, get the puppies next to you and just settle in. And it's going to fucking tear you apart.
Yeah, I'll be texting you in like a week. Like, why did you do this? I'm sucked
in. I'm so fucking sad.
No, I'm excited. I'm always looking for new shit.
Yeah, it's a really good one. It's super good. All right. Well, now that we got distracted talking about Netflix, I'm going to see if they'll pay for sponsorship, because motherfuckers, I just said your name like 15 times.
Right.
Concerts. You said you're going to a lot of concerts. And like, are they festivals? Are they like little gigs, big gigs?
I've been going to a lot of festivals. I went to one in September called Lost Lands in Ohio, which is like a lot of EDM music and stuff like that, which is it's funny because I like going to those festivals, but I don't necessarily listen to that music on my own free time, if that makes sense.
Right.
I listen to more like sad emo fucking shitty bands that I like, but but yeah, no, so a lot of festivals. I have one coming up December, which we're in December now, so I have one coming. Isn't that bad? Like, I really straight up the other day was like, it's December. Like, yeah, it's the 10th. It's December. I have one like the right after Christmas in Philly called Hijinks. So yeah, I just, my friends and I like to go and just be delinquents and party for the weekend. So
like I say, you party.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. But you don't usually listen. So you go for the atmosphere, not the music.
No, I do. I like the music. I just mean like when I'm driving in my car or like putting my headphones on, I don't put on like dubstep. Yeah. I like it. And I think it's super fun when I'm there. And I prefer it live, I guess, is what I'm saying. Right. Just because it's like the atmosphere trickles into it. I mean, once in a while, if I'm in a mood, I'll put on one of those songs. But it's not my everyday listening music. Because people think like, oh, you go to all these festivals. Like, I didn't know you loved EDM. And I'm like, I like it. I would love.
I like the festivals. I like the events.
It's fun. Just the community. Like, the you know, the atmosphere, the way people are. Yeah, no, it's just, it's cool. But some of it I listen to. Not all of it.
The wife puts on, she's got a Avicii. I think the dude's.
R.I.P.
Yeah, because he passed several years ago, I think. But she's got a Pandora station that she listens to with him. And it's either that or there's this like swing. There's a type, and I forget exactly the term for it, but it's like swing EDM. Ooh. So it's got like that 20s kind of swing music, big band stuff, but it's also.
Yeah.
I'll have to look that up too.
Right.
But it was, and that's usually what she listens to. And I'm like, it's fucking 7 o'clock in the morning and she's got it just blaring.
That's too funny.
But then when I go to take a shower, I've got like Volbeat and metal playing and shit.
Right.
So I'll put on fucking Bad Brains. You put on that shit, I'm putting on fucking Bad Brains.
Right. You guys are just having a battle. Over the years too, I think from doing porn, I've made a lot of friends who are in that industry as well. So that helps because I like...
In the music industry?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I end up knowing like a couple of the artists that play the festivals, and that helps.
Right.
Because then you get more perks. Be able to go backstage if you want. But yeah, so it's just been something I've gotten into. I think like my first time I ever went to a EDM show was like my 19th birthday before my 19th birthday. So almost 10 years now.
I was going to say like 2 years ago.
I'm showing my age. No, I'm turning 28 soon.
Well, you look goddamn good.
Thanks. I'll take it.
I just saw you naked, so I know exactly how good you look.
I joke with my agent all the time. I'm like, hey, we can't say anything about my age when I'm still getting booked teen things or like around teenage.
Dude,
like,
I knew a girl years ago, well over 10 years ago, and her name was Haley Young. Mm-hmm. And I knew her really well. We hung out a lot back in LA, and she, I think, was sneaking up into her 30s and was still getting booked for teen stuff.
Yes, maybe it'll be me.
That was her thing. Like she had this little, there's actually a model out now, and I can't think of off the top of my head what her name is. It's it'll come to me later. But she, as soon as I saw her, I was like, holy shit. And I told her, I was like, you could easily be like, you're like Haley Young's doppelganger. And she was like, I've actually heard that before.
A young Haley Young.
Yeah. Which is even younger looking.
I used to get Samantha Saint when I first started.
Samantha Saint?
Yeah. Do you know who she is? Mm-hmm. She was in the industry. She's hot. Like, I was never mad about it. But they were like, you remind me of a young Samantha Saint. That was the one I always got.
Samantha. Damn it.
She was a babe. I mean, like, she still is a babe, I'm sure. I just mean, like...
I don't know. Somebody's... Oh. American pornographic actress.
Do you see the resemblance a little? I think it's just we both have the long, skinny face, blonde hair, and all that. You know, it's kind of basic, but that's the one.
100%. Yeah. That's it. I don't want to lean it too much because, this is, you know what, it's Google search, so it's not going to show anything that we can't show.
Well, yeah, true.
Oh, yeah.
As long as you have your safe mode turned on, I do not on mine, but.
Yeah, with Google right now, like that, when I launched, she's not much older than you.
Oh, really?
She was born in 87.
Oh, yeah, she's not too much older.
June 8th, 1987.
I think she just has a different style look. You know what I mean?
This is on Google, by the way. This information is Google. So that's something. Have you noticed that when you go on and Google, if you Google Cadence Lux or anything, these motherfuckers, like, there's no privacy anymore.
No, no. And it's funny because I've had people be like, do you know that this info? I'm like, yeah, dude. Do you know my butthole is spread on the internet? Like, do you really think I give a shit? That, you know, I really don't care.
Like, I know, but at the same time, I'm like, you know, there's a reason that you didn't come out and use your real name.
Exactly. It's an invasion, but as long as the internet is around, there's going to be people putting our business out there, you know?
You know what the best part is if you look up, no matter how you spell it or type it, unless you put like adult porn bondage guy, it's not going to show me.
No.
But I'm going to try and pull it up and see if I can. I mean, my real name's out there, so I don't.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I think if you've been in the industry more than a year, you know what I mean? They're on top of that shit. Those hacker people. Whatever.
Motherfuckers.
Yeah, those people I hate.
What am I looking for?
For the longest time, my actual real birthday was wrong on like everything. It was like days off, and I was like, I'm not even going to correct anybody.
Yeah, see, it doesn't. It
doesn't even come up.
So there's all of this stuff that's here for me, but when you go back and you look up Samantha Saint, you'd be like, bam.
Yeah, it's right there. I think mine comes right up too. I don't know if it's, I'm not as official as her, I don't think, but I think it'll pop right up. Because I don't think there's many Cadence Luxes that are just floating around the universe.
There you go.
Oh, girl. There she is.
There she
Check
is.
Check her out.
You know what's cool though? Is they have nationality, height, and where you were born. Oh, I know you're born in New York.
Yeah. Oh. Not the city though. See, they got it wrong. Fuckers.
Yeah, but you don't have all the other fucking info where you go back and look at her and it's like she's born. Oh, there's her full name. Her education.
You gotta dig deeper for that for me, I guess.
Yeah. Which is not a bad thing.
I'm not mad. Not at all.
Yeah, there's that weird old guy from the Catholic Church who shares the same title as I have, John Paul the Pope. So
That's hilarious.
Us confused. So you can put like porn, adult, bondage, sadist, and it still doesn't show. It shows me and all my stuff, but there's none of this. I've been forever trying to get someone to do. Oh, that's why. It's a Wikipedia.
Oh.
Did you know you had a Wikipedia page?
Mm-hmm.
See, I didn't know that. Hey, somebody, do me a Wikipedia page. I need one so people stop looking up that fucking other guy. They're going to make him a fucking saint anyway.
I'm surprised you don't have one. You've been, you know.
There's too many John Paul the Popes.
Yeah, but.
Or Pope John Paul.
Yeah, but if I have one, you should certainly.
So let's go, you know, we'll get into that.
Shit.
You are shit. You have a Wikipedia page. I have for years tried to figure out why. AVN XBiz never looked at me as a director. I've been directing for 15 fucking years and I've directed thousands of movies, but they're on the internet. They don't go to, and if they go to DVD, it goes to DVD under whoever the distributor, Jules Jordan, then kink.com, yes. Then who the fuck cares about that?
Right.
You know, it may say something, but it's always, oh, he's a web director. There can be a director who can make one fucking movie a year. And it goes out under whatever fucking title or whatever label that it goes under. And they instantly can get nominated. And obviously, it has to be good enough.
Right.
And they can get nominated for Best Director of the Year. And I'm like, I have for 15 years, I've been making hundreds, if not thousands of fucking movies.
Don't you love it?
And this year, though, I will say I did get a nomination this year. I got nominated for Best Director for a drama.
Yay. Was it for the feature thing you did?
It was for the feature.
Cool.
Which was cool. And I'm in great company. Like I'm up there with fucking Bree Mills and
That's
fucking Caden.
Felt.
And I think, and I look at it, it's like, you know, Caden's been doing this. I don't know her personally, but she shot at my studio back in LA fucking forever ago when she was Adam and Eve contract girl or something like that. And Bree is obviously out there doing her thing. So to even be in that company, and I think Joanna Angel's in there also. So it's like, and not to mention that there's some bad bitches, and sorry if bitch is offensive to you ladies, but the fact that there's so many female directors right now that are fucking killing it, I think it's amazing. And I'm like, you know what, put me beside them all day.
That was kind of how I felt about mine too. I'm best actress for a featurette nomination for AVN. I'm with Joanna Angel, with Kristen Scott, with, you know, a bunch of, I can't think of the other ones off the top. Shiloh Jennings is on there. There's a couple girls on there where I'm like, cool. Like I'm up there with some of the better of actresses in the business, you know. So and
that's the thing, when you get, when your name gets thrown in that same spot next to them, that's validation.
Totally.
That you didn't necessarily go searching for, but when you get it, you're like, I'll take that shit all day.
I'll take it all day. Absolutely. Yeah. It's exciting.
But I still want a fucking Wikipedia page, motherfuckers. Somebody, come on.
It's gotta happen. It's gotta make it happen.
Somebody can.
You're gonna have to do it yourself, I think.
I tried, but then I guess there's this weird
thing. Like, I already tried.
And there's like, you have to be, I think someone else has to make it for you.
Weird.
Yeah.
Who knows who made mine?
So whatever.
One of you.
Someone tried to do it for me once, a model. And I forget exactly what she asked me, a bunch of information. And then she printed out like a faux Wikipedia poster, which was cool. Unfortunately, it got fucking destroyed in the move. Moving out here, it got fucking ruined. So whatever. It was temporarily kind of sort of Wikipedia-ish.
You had your fulfillment, but now you need more.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like I said, I it would be cool to have it, but at the same time, like I said, that other guy was talking about earlier, this motherfucker's like the most sought out. Probably, I mean, he's complaining about the doors not opening the way he wants on his brand new Lambo, and I'm sitting here bitching about, you know,
I definitely know
not having a Wikipedia page.
I definitely know who that is now. I just needed the satisfaction in my head that I knew who you guys were talking about. Now I do, so we're good.
Do you remember who it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I worked with him. He's great. Yeah.
I was going to say, if I remember, he's a good looking guy.
He's good looking and just like just a nice person too. So, I like to see those people do well.
Right. You know what I like to see? I like to see everyone do well.
I'm petty.
Well, here, no. I like to see everyone do well that tries. It does bug me because I'm human and I'm just an asshole human, but nonetheless, it does bug me when people put zero effort in and then they get credit for doing something that everyone else worked their ass off for. That pisses me off.
Yep.
But at the same time, fuck, dude, if you can pull it off, if you can stand and not even show up and then still get the fucking thing and everyone that helped you get that is like, oh yeah, it's all his. More power fucking to you.
Yeah, I guess.
That's not the way I roll. I don't roll like that. If I'm going to fucking do it.
You're going to do it.
I'm going to put my name on it and my name doesn't go on it unless I fucking did it.
Good. I mean, that's.
But I'm the same way with everybody in my crew. Like everybody. Like when we got the nominations for XBiz, we got a best cinematography, which is huge.
Yeah.
At XBiz, because you know, XBiz, there's a difference between AVN and XBiz. There's the way I understand it, one person watches everything for XBiz and decides what they want. And AVN, there's a group.
Yes.
So, and I don't know how, whatever. And I don't know all the politics. But either way, to get anything on XBiz, it seems a little harder if you're not in there. So for it to get best cinematography.
Yeah.
So obviously Disco, told you his name was going to come up. Mm-hmm. He was the one who was my main cinematographer. And I told him, I'm like, dude, you fucking killed it. You got the best cinematography thing. But the same time, the guy who ran B-Cam and also drove the drone and did, like, he kind of wore a bunch of hats. I called him up, dude, you got best cinematography, because they both shared it. I'm like, you motherfuckers did this. And they're like, no, it's your movie. I'm like, uh-uh.
No, you're like,
I wrote a script and told you what I wanted, and you guys executed well enough, so.
Absolutely. Now that you say that, I'm pretty sure one of the features I was in is in that same category, best cinematography. Yeah. And it's, I have to go through and look, because you know how for a performer at least, there'll be a bunch of things that I'm in that are nominated, but I'll forget. You know what I mean? Like I'll be like, oh yeah, I'm in that DVD that's up for whatever the hell it's up for. But right. Like, I'm like, I don't remember that, but I'm pretty sure that's best cinematography is one of the things I did too. So congrats to us both for being cinematic. Or just being in the presence of cinematic people.
Right.
People, that's more what it is.
Luckily, we have people around us that make us look good.
Exactly.
I tell people that all the time. I was like, you know, they're like, JP, you know, your porn is this and your porn is that. I was like, I can only do so much. It's Disco. Like, he makes me look good. He makes my bondage look good.
Yeah, he's really good.
And I'm still working, for anybody who wants to know, because someone just commented recently, like, when are we going to get the drinks at Disco? And I'm like, I'm still working. He's a hard fucking egg to crack. Is that the right thing?
Yeah, I think there's another saying you were thinking of.
Hard turd to shit. I'm just playing Disco if you watch this.
We'll stick with hard egg to crack. That's a better one.
Yeah. So yeah, it's a work in progress. I've almost got him convinced to record one with me and then say, here, you take the footage and you take all the audio and you listen to it at your leisure, and if you think it's good enough to go up. But I mean, to finish that thought, it's like, I'm going to let him have the final decision, but he's at this point like, nah. That's the way he is. Like when I give him credit for like the best cinematography, he's like, nah, it's your movie. No, motherfucker, you did it. That's like the cinematography doesn't have anything to do with me.
Right.
Especially when I'm on camera, I'm not in your ear every second telling you exactly what shot. I can tell you an idea and then you do it. So
exactly.
Cinematographer got cinematography.
He's good. It's kind of cool to watch as a performer, watch all the different styles of like camera people. You know, I've worked with like plenty of people over and over again or with new people. And it's funny to watch the different, like what they do. Right. Differently and compare it to each other, like Chris or
Disco.
Disco, okay. Yeah, Disco is good.
At Christmas like, Disco is his name.
Christmas Disco.
Christmas Disco. See how it's so. It's if
even how
if
did he? A little, how did he?
So his real Christmas life initials disco. Are CD.
Okay.
And he CD's notes? Two of his favorite things are Christmas and disco music. Too bad he doesn't, because the only thing that he likes better than those two things is Elvis.
Okay. Well then.
By the time he comes on, people are going to be like, we know so much about this
who
guy.
Is the, yeah, they're going to be like, put a face to the name is what they're going to want to do. Or to the legacy.
Something, yeah. So, but yeah, he's we're working on it. I forget now why I even brought that up.
I don't remember either. We just went off.
Yeah. It's all of a sudden there's like the Christmas disco thing again. sorry, I'm distracted. There's a fucking cable under my foot. And I'm like, I don't know where this cable is. Give me a second.
I could tell that you were distracted by something, but I didn't know what, so I just didn't even say anything.
It's a fucking charger and cable that I've, it's a super long that runs from here all the way back to here, and there's so much slack in it that it's under my foot, and I'm like, I thought it was one of these XLRs, I'm like,
excuses,
God damn it.
Excuses, excuses.
I know, any excuse to stop for a minute.
Right.
Damn it, why did I bring that up about fucking, whatever, it's gone now.
Yeah, we were talking about cinematic shit, and then we somehow got into that, but I don't know. I don't remember where we were going with it either. I'm also would like to note that I'm a little.
So tell us exactly why are you?
Well,
keep going. I'm gonna find a sound for you while you're and.
like floating a little angel here. You put me through the ringer. That's why. You know why.
Are you feeling a little? This is going to be my new sound for after shoot. Like, how are you feeling? And you're like.
It's literally kind of how I feel. I joked earlier and said it's always the hardest when people want to do interviews after you've already like orgasmed a bunch, because then they ask me questions and I'm like. Yes. And they're like,
I've got cum brain right now.
It wasn't
now.
A yes or no question. We need you to elaborate. I'm like, I don't know what you asked me.
What's your favorite color? Yes.
Yes.
Roses do pain. Smell nice.
Pain is my favorite.
You want to talk about it a little bit?
Sure.
Let's shoot.
Yeah.
So today we shot for the Device Bonded channel at Kink. And I've done this like 3 times, I think, to where we come in and we do something that's not the usual, let's do this position. And there's the formula. I come in, I do the things, I touch, I start accelerating the bond, or excuse me, the pain. We get to a certain height, we stop, we do orgasms, then we take you out, you get 30, 45 minutes, and then we rinse and repeat.
Yep.
Today, we decided that we were going to do one position and we weren't going to stop for a fucking hour.
Yeah. Well, I like guess we did two, right? But still, one technically, position technically.
But like, it converted on, it. Instead of cutting and going, hold, let me get a different shot. Like yeah. Disco floated for a full hour and 3 minutes.
We went. So yeah, that was definitely one of the heavier ones I've done. Because me and you, I feel like almost every time I shoot with you, we're like, we're going to go hard today. And we always do.
Right.
But that was, I think, because of the no break, no anything, I was able to reach my subspace, kind of stay there, float in and out of it. That was fun. I don't even know.
It was hot. And like I said, it went for an hour and we did tons of stuff. And I'm not going to talk about everything that we did but it was, I will tell you guys this, that our beautiful guest has marks on her body. And her hair just dried before we started this podcast.
Oh yeah, it actually is fully dry. I was like, it might still be wet, but yeah, no, it was soaked. So,
and anybody that knows me well enough knows there's probably only one reason she had wet hair. So now you know what to look forward to. And if you don't, maybe you should tune in.
You should definitely go see this because I think it was definitely one of the hardest I've let you go on me. Yeah.
I would, I mean, I could say that I feel like it was harder than we've ever done before.
Yeah. Yeah. I would like to look back at some of the other stuff because I'm like, I know we've gone pretty hard for all, most of them though. Like
we have, I feel like every time, even from the first time that you and I shot Hogtied in the boiler room at the armory, mm-hmm. that we had tears.
Oh yeah. I'm a perpetual crier. That was really hard to say.
It's okay.
Yeah. I warn people sometimes, even if I just do like a rough, like, you know, regular, more of like a rough sex scene or whatever. Like I warn people. I'm like, just so you know, if I cry, you're fine. Like, yeah, it's just something. Stop. Yeah. It's something that happens. But, I remember the first time we shot together at the armory and you said, we got done and you said to me, so you came in here wanting to be one of Pope's bitches, huh? And I was like, yeah. And you're like, well, you did it. And I'm like, good. Yay. Cause I remember like, I had wanted to shoot with Kink for so long. Like before I even got in, that was
right.
My shit. It's what I like. But then I knew you and I knew Orlando and I knew who everybody was well before I was even in the industry, just from watching it.
Right.
So I remember when I got, cause I had shot a couple other scenes for other Kink directors. And then finally you and I booked with you. And I remember being like, I want to impress, like I wanted to impress you, not to, you know, not to sound like I really want to impress, but no, like I have that thing where I'm like, you know, I'm tough. I want to show people and him that I'm tough. So here I am.
You did it. You know, what sucks is I own that domain for a minute and then, it was used improperly, not by me, but by someone else. So it kind of is tainted. So I've still got the Twitter handle, but the idea of that, because originally with the Pope's bitches, I think Abella Danger was the first one that started using that term, I think hashtagging it.
Yeah.
And then I started putting it on All With The Girls and that became a thing. It became like a badge of pride for a lot of the girls was I want to be one of Pope's bitches.
Yeah.
And so I got the URL and then lost it in a business divorce, so to speak. And then they fucking did whatever. They basically tainted it. So, and then they were like, hey, if you want this back, you can have it. And I was like,
no,
you used it as a fucking torrent site. I know what the fuck you did. I saw what happened to it. So now it's wanting to be handed over. No.
Yeah.
So like I said, I still have the Twitter handle and I still use it from time to time, but I don't even try and put so much effort into it anymore just because it was.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to even think of the year that was when I guess you could find out easily, but
this, probably, I've used my laptop more this time because I usually like have my phone. I'm trying to be
guess though. So let's see. Probably what, 2015 is my guess.
I had to turn it because of the whole.
Yeah, be careful.
Luckily, I know some editing.
I'm going to guess it's 2015 is when I first shot with you.
Kink, I've told you before. Actually, you know what? The searching's getting better over here. Models,
this bitch. Yeah, and then I also distinctly remember one of our device shoots because we were the only shoot going on that day in the armory and I was screaming like a crazy person.
This was towards the end, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right towards the end.
You know, there was cool to be there at that point, but it was like one of those situations. It got really fucking weird because there was like, there was nobody there. And for people that were never there in like the heyday when you had 40 people running through the fucking halls downstairs and all of the shit going on, that there was like people didn't get
so much fun. Yeah like so much fun. Yeah, that was weird for me because not only just being the only shoot that day was weird, it was weird going into the makeup room and being the only person. Like there was nobody. Usually it was like all the other sites, the green room's full of like 15 people, but this was like just me. And I was like, where's everybody? They're like, you're the only shoot today. I'm like, that has never happened for me. So I was like, well, it's the end.
When you're in a fucking 250,000 square foot castle.
It's weird.
And when I was going back to visit, or not say visit, when I was still working, because I eventually moved, obviously went to Vegas and set up shop. And I would still have to go back there to finish my obligations and do the shooting before we had everything set up out here. Sorry, I'm just looking at Kink's advertising right now. Happy fucking holidays. Save 50% with a code. Go to kink.com.
Yeah.
You know what? I should have them give me a fucking code. That's what I'm going to talk to those fuckers about. So anyway, so I would go back and visit or I would go back to shoot, but I'd have to be there for 3 or 4 days. So I would spend a night or two in the armory. No one. no one. There was like, there was half the people were already gone. So you didn't have, you were coming in, you were doing your own makeup or whatever. Like it was just so fucking, it sucked. And the shitty part is knowing how it used to be to where there were fucking, you know, 15 to 20 people at a time spending the night there. Yep. And there was parties in the green room. Yep. And then it was one of those where like, all right, well, if you guys don't stop partying, and when I say partying, just hanging out too late, then we're going to start sending security up here and putting curfews on you motherfuckers, because you're hanging out with all these people that you don't usually hang out with. It's like a big sleepover.
Yes.
And then people are like, oh man, I go to bed till 3 because we were in the green room shooting the shit all night
long. It's like, you're here for work still.
Yeah. So, so anyway, I can't turn this too much because it's showing things. I think
it's probably 2015, right?
It's June. Well, it updated. It went up on June 2nd, 2016.
Weird.
Yeah. And if that's the case, it probably means that we shot it early 2016.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's
so right. So it's end of 2015, early 2016.
Yeah, it must be. I think I started shooting with Kink in general 2015. I think it took me a bit to shoot with you, just because at first I was like, I don't know if I can handle, like, I didn't know anything to do with BDSM limits before I shot it. Like, I really would look at the stuff and be like, it's so hot, but I thought I was a pussy.
Right.
I was like, I don't know. So I think I didn't shoot with you right away because I was like, I can't handle hog tied.
Right.
I'm a baby back bitch. Like, no way. But then I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. And then I handled it.
Well, I think one of the things too is a lot of people don't realize is that there's not a, like with me, and there, unfortunately, there have been directors, bondage directors, who have one speed. And you either do what they, you deal with what they dish out, or you get canceled and you don't get to come back. And let it be whatever it is. But to me, I feel like the sustainability, the reason I'm doing this 15 years, the reason I'm still working with all the people that I'm working with, and like what you were talking about earlier, some of the, I'm one of the only people that you'll let do this to you.
And 100%. Or arguably the only one.
Right. So, and it's because it's knowing where you're at and what you can take, and saying, because it goes back to this ego thing where I don't have to show. It's not about me proving how much of a badass I am. It's me proving how I can put you through and get the same reaction as that girl who can't get hit hard, or that girl over there who's scared of 10,000 things and all I can do is flog her a couple times on the ass and make her come, but I can still put them in the situations. Mm-hmm. So.
It's like, it's more you're like not showing yourself being a badass. You're like trying to show the girl being a badass.
Exactly. And that's the thing. It's like, you know, all my bondage looks really good because of the girl. Mm-hmm. All of the things that I do look really cool because of the girl. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything that happens, I look good because of the models. The models help me do, I mean, because if you take the models out of the equation, you get a really weird cross-eyed old guy sitting around with rope and a fucking vibrator in his hand.
I'm just picturing you flogging nothing and holding a vibrator on nothing, and it's good.
Screaming at it, you fucking bitch.
Yeah. It's pretty entertaining, but you don't want to let too many people see you do that.
Now I'm sitting there thinking, I kind of see it in my head too.
It's kind of disturbing.
But with me, I'm sitting in a wheelchair.
I might need a wheelchair after today. When I was walking, I was like, damn, my feet. Like, it was funny. I was like, bottom of my feet hurt. And I didn't even let you do too much. I was like,
fuck. Yeah, we didn't go super hard on your feet.
Oh, because I could feel them getting numb. You came in hard on them. And I was like, oh, he's not even, oh, he's going there. Oh,
mm-hmm. Yeah. I just came out of the box swinging.
I was like, why do my feet hurt? Oh, yeah. Now I remember why.
I think the worst part is probably going to be putting a bra on.
Oh my god, yeah. Have not gotten soft since then, just because they're so like
overly stimulated.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I said that, and like now they feel a little bit less hard, but they have been like hard, and it's like I'm chilly too, but like, yeah,
I know. Is that heater on over there?
No, it's, I'm not chilly right now. The heater is doing well, but you know what I mean, like
from just earlier
in life. Yeah, yeah. I couldn't stop shivering when we were done from so many things happening. I was just like,
ooh. Well, it was like the endorphins and the adrenaline.
Oh yeah. A lot of it.
It was intense. I mean, to sit there and deal with an hour nonstop, that's a lot. And it's not, you were in it for an hour and we did 15 minutes of orgasms, and no, you got your ass handed to you for an hour with orgasms that totaled maybe 5 or 6 minutes for the entire hour and some change.
It's funny because when you asked me earlier, like, do you want to go a little lighter on the bondage and a little bit heavier on the impact play, or do you want to go heavier on the bondage. And then that's, I guess my answer was what led to us doing an hour straight. Cause you were like, right. Well, what about if you want, you know, more pain, less bondage? That's always going to be my answer.
Right.
Especially if I can mark, which is, it's rare that I ever can just cause I'm booked a lot. But yeah, it was like perfect. Cause when, you know, the wife had texted me and asked me like, oh, can we get you in? I think even in my messages to her, I'm like, well, she like asked about 2 days. I'm like, well, if we did it this day, it'd be my last shoot. But if we did it this day, I'd still have to go back and shoot. And she's like, let's do it that day then.
Right.
So I don't mind going into like lighter BDSM things, not being able to mark. Cause like whatever, but I want to mark. Like I like that stuff a lot. So right. It pains me when I'm like, I can't mark today. Like it's like hurts me personally. I'm like, no, like I would prefer to not even take the booking if I can't mark. Like that's right. How I am. I'm like that money will be there when I come, like when I can, you know?
Right.
Oh, that's my personal.
But I mean, there's a lot of the girls that are super big bondage model kind of, I mean, I don't want to say bondage model because bondage model is different from porn star who loves bondage.
Right.
To a certain degree. But the people who are real into this stuff and this is what gets them going, they all have that same dilemma. Like I want to go hard, but I can't because I got to work tomorrow. I got to go to work in 2 days. So the marking doesn't happen. So it's the same way with me. Like there's this treat of, oh, I get to fuck you up and you get to get marked up and we get to go full throttle and not have to worry about it. Whereas, yep. I mean, I've gotten creative after 15 years. I'm getting really creative about, oh, well, I can't mark you. Here I come. The feet are always the number one target. Oh,
I know, and they are so sensitive.
Do you know I've marked feet before?
I believe it. Especially when you're hitting them today. I'm like, are my feet going to be bruised? I don't think they are. We didn't hit them long enough because I was like, ah!
They're going to be sensitive for sure.
Oh, yeah. It's like I can feel them, but no, I believe it because there's like been time, like I was thinking that when we were doing it. Like, I'm like, I wonder if my feet will mark today. I don't think my feet have ever marked from anything
before.
No,
it takes a lot more than what we did.
And I will tell you, I will push myself and take a lot. But when it comes to the feet, that will be the first thing I say mercy on. I don't know if you noticed. Like, I'm like, I'll try as much as I can. But for whatever fucking reason, my feet and my inner thighs are like.
Well, those are two of the most sensitive spots. Like, I'm surprised your inner thigh didn't mark up more because.
I am too. I thought it was. It felt like it was going to.
Right.
Because every time you were hitting that, putting my hand on it right now stings like a motherfucker. So I thought it would too, but
we'll see what you look like tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll have to send you an update. I definitely think these got the most of the markings.
Your boobs took most of it.
Yeah.
So with all of that being said, BDSM therapeutic? Is it something?
Yeah, so much so.
I mean, what is it that when you come into situations like this, is it that makes you, what is it that makes you crave coming in and doing something like this?
I think it's just challenging myself. Like, I don't even think I like the pain. I like everything. Obviously I orgasm like crazy multiple times, but for me, it's like literally I like to even while I'm doing it and I'm like, like you'll hear, I'm pretty vocal when I sub, like, I'm like, I think I even said you hit me one time. I'm like, fuck me running.
Yeah.
So like, I will just, and that's me being like pushing myself. Cause like every time I see somebody or I get hit and I'm like, God damn it. That's like me being like, you got it. Like in my head, kind of like how you're like, who is a bad bitch?
Right.
That's my version of me being like, you got this. You're right. Not going to call mercy yet. So for me, it's like definitely just a straight up personal like challenge. Like I like to look back and be like, look at how crazy I look getting beat. And I was like, it's just cool. Like right. It's an accomplishment.
Exactly. And I think that's the thing that kind of rings with a lot of the girls too, is like that accomplishment and that's not, I don't want to say self-worth, but that look at me, I'm a bad bitch, I did this. Like if you ever, yes. But it not only does it give you something to, hey, look, friend, look what I did. It also has something that if you ever, there's ever self-doubt or question, you could be like, there was that time that this motherfucker did some gnarly shit to me and most people would not even think to allow it to happen. Yep. And I got through it and then I came.
A lot.
Speaking of which, paingasm. Before we went into this, you talked about a friend of ours in front of you having a paingasm on a shoot and you're like, I don't know that if I'm at that level yet. And then ta-da.
Yeah, it kind of happened. I feel like that was sort of a cheating one though, because it was also hitting where it needed to be hitting too, because it was pain, but it was still stimulating me. Like I want to orgasm where I'm just being like repeatedly flogged to the point right. where I'm like, that just gets me. Cause that's what she did in front of me. We had the bundle cane, the sticks.
Right.
He was just hitting her and she just started convulsing. And I was like, oh my God, that's what that looks like in real life. Because I have friends that have said they do it. And I'm like, dude, I consider myself like a pretty, maybe not huge pain slut, but I consider myself like a pretty big pain slut. And like, I don't know. Yeah, it's something that like
you have to start off. You gotta crawl before you walk, kind of thing. And you were taking a crop, a riding crop, which you hit horses with. And I wasn't swinging for the fences, but I was consistently tapping you. And I didn't like peel your outer labia back, mm-hmm. but there wasn't a lot of stopping it. And yeah. it was finding the rhythm and having the right amount of pressure to where this stings, but it's not killing me. But you'll graduate now that you've done it from pain. I don't care if it's from the clear or not. You still were getting hit, not like lickety lick or rub and vibe. You were getting fucking hit.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's going to eventually graduate to where you slowly sexualize it more to where, and that's the way the girls, and I say only because of talking with the girls about it, that you start sexualizing the pain so much that you're getting caned across the front of your thighs and, oh, fuck, I just came. Or
yes.
You're getting, you know, hit across the back. Like I know so many, I've had so many girls do these things and it's the weirdest thing. And the best part is just like with you today with that suddenly like, oh, fuck, I think I'm going to come. Mm-hmm. And not realizing where it came from or why.
Yep.
Yeah, so you'll get there. It'll come.
It'll happen.
Yeah.
I have
no pun intended with the it'll come. do we want to talk about anything else that we just did? What got you into BDSM? Like what? And obviously, we don't need to know exact ages of when you had the thing. But if it was super young, you could just say super young.
You know what's weird is I'm a rare case that I don't. It might just be like that I've blocked out a lot or something. But I'm like one of those rare cases that didn't really fuck with BDSM much at all until I got into the industry.
Okay.
Yeah, besides maybe like somebody choking me while having sex with me or like a light face slap or something, I don't remember anything. Like nobody definitely never was tied up before I did.
Right.
Never that.
So you never sought it out. You were never like, ooh, this looks really hot and kinky.
I thought it was hot to watch. But also when you're like younger and fucking a bunch of dumb, stupid dudes, you're like, I basically just thought it was hot to watch. You know what
I
mean?
But you know, I don't think there's I think with... Even with me, because I'm a sadist by nature. Like that, before I knew what BDSM was, I would tell stories of this really fucked up shit, and people are like, "You don't tell other people that, do you?" And I'm like, "No, we're just really good friends.
Yeah,
I don't need you to repeat this to anyone."
Yeah.
And then I found BDSM, and I'm like, "Oh, it's so." Because my thing was, I always fantasized about watching someone suffer. I wanted to look at them and watch them cry and watch them suffer and read it and feel it and see it in their eyes. But then be like, "Okay, we're cool." Mm-hmm. And then I found BDSM, and I'm like, oh.
There it is.
But then there are people who, like I said, that girls that are like, I've never tried this before, and you go to town on them, and they're like, what the fuck? What did you just do to me? And I was like, that's been in there. You just didn't know how to get to it.
Yep, exactly. That was pretty much how it was for me. I think it was just there all along, and I didn't even really think about it too much, besides maybe, like, watching it online and, like, getting off watching somebody else do it. But, like, I never sought it out or experienced it before porn. And I definitely topped before I bottomed too.
Okay.
I remember because it's like 6 months into me shooting, I got booked like a dominatrix style shoot. And I remember being like, I don't know how to do this. But they had me basically shadow this really awesome dom who's still around to this day. She's great. And she taught me a lot just on that, even on that one day. And I remember being like, looking at the submissive being like, what the fuck? Because we were doing heavy ball busting on this man, breaking blood vessels ball busting. And y'all just brutal. And I remember being like, this is fucking weird. Like, you're okay with this? And at that time, it's because I didn't correlate my own pain thing hadn't clicked. And now I'm like, yeah, that makes total sense.
Right.
But when I was, you know, 20 and brand new to the industry, or about to be 21, whatever, I was just like, what? Like, you want us to you flew here for this company on your own dime, and you're not being paid to be here. You are being a
you spent all of your money just to come get kicked in the
by
nuts
two women. Yeah. So I thought that was fucking. I was like, this dude's insane. But now I'm like, okay, so who's gonna step on my face this week? You know. So it's like it's like I totally get it now, and I think that like I honestly think that starting topping before I subbed maybe helped with that. Like okay. it helped me kind of get my bearings with that before I let anybody do anything to me. You know, because. Right. And I think, like, honestly, I really think Kink was, like, the company that warmed me up to all of it. I don't think I ever did things before that, so.
It's weird. There's a lot of people who have different ideas about, like, there's people who have this notion that you can't be a good top if you weren't a good bottom. And I call it bullshit. And I say that because I never served. I never was on the bottom. I played. I tinkered with being, once I started getting into BDSM, I tinkered with it a little bit as far as like, I'll see what it's like to be flogged and to be told what to do. And it was whatever. I mean, I didn't hate it. I didn't like it enough to be like, I didn't find that was my place. Mm-hmm. And I still enjoy certain parts of that as far as like the service part, especially. I've got a friend of mine, this amazing femdom, who told me that if you weren't such a big, badass dom guy, you'd be the most amazing service bottom in the world.
Yeah,
but it's because I'm a pleaser.
Yes,
which is why I think I'm good at what I do with you guys, you girls, I should say, is that I do everything I do to please you and to make you look good and to bring you to a different level, and I come second.
Yeah,
no pun intended.
I mean, I definitely agree with what you're saying. I've heard plenty of like doms say I won't do anything to other people that I haven't done to myself.
That's me.
Yeah. And I think that's great. I can't say that I've followed that same rule because I've definitely done things to people that I haven't had done to me. For example, I've sounded somebody. I've never had that.
Well, you don't have a penis. Well, can you sound?
You can sound. Yeah.
Girls?
Yeah. It's really? Yeah. And it literally terrifies me, and it's something I would never do. But that to me, I'm like, well, am I being a hypocrite? Because there's other shit, you know, I can't think of many other things that I haven't done besides that to other, you know what I mean? To other people that I haven't had done to me, but like, so I guess I don't follow that exact rule, but I do agree with like, it's better. That's why I'm glad I did today. Cause like I said before, I've worked as a pro dom before and done hour long sessions topping somebody. I've never gotten beat for an hour straight, and now I know.
Now you know what it's like to deal with
the
it.
Endorphins and all of that. For because, like I said, when we do the other scenes where it's the three setups, four setups, you get a little bit of like breathing time. You take the break. You know, you get kind of out of that subspacey head, and then you go back into it, and then you're being brought back into that. So to do the whole full hour, I'm glad we did it for that too. Just now I know that level of endorphins and emotion and all of that being released is something I've done to other people before. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah. I think that it's, you don't have to be a bottom to be a good top, but what I do think is you need empathy and you don't need a fucking ego.
100%
ego. If you're a fucking top with an ego, just look how cool. Jeez. I am. My opinion is you're doing it wrong. That's not the way it goes. Like it's supposed to be, I'm going to give you everything that you and I have discussed and the way that I want to give it to you, but it's still me doing what you said you wanted.
There's a difference between a guy who wants to please a girl because of what she's into or a guy that hates women. And usually you can tell with the way that they treat you if they're topping you, you know? I've definitely had some people who call themselves doms, and you can just tell by the look in their eye almost, like, this isn't for me. Mm-mm. This is solely for you to get your frustration on women out, which is cool. Go to a therapist. Yeah.
Well, you take the millionaire aspect out of the fucking 50 Shades of Fuck You and put them in a trailer park.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
That's like a fucking crime drama TV show on Headline News. I mean, that's one of those, you know, it's because they polished it and put it up. I mean, because that whole book is a fucking crock of shit.
It's so bad.
But it's the same thing. Like I've known people who were like, oh yeah, we're lifestyle and she's my sub. And I'm like, you get drunk and beat the shit out of her. That's not a DS relationship. You fuck, you're abusive.
Exactly. And I don't know if you've seen lately, but I've seen a couple like news articles too, where that's like a problem now in court where like guys will
claim BDSM.
Yes. Like, fucking pieces. Like, shit. Literally, I've seen multiple articles, even within the last month. Just, and I'm one of those people, I scroll Twitter and then I see the things. I don't pay too much attention to the news and everything because it depresses the shit out of me.
Right.
But I will catch the things. And yeah, that's like a big one right now is like guys blaming, oh, they choked their girlfriend to death. Well, she asked for it. But we all know how long it takes to choke somebody to actually kill them versus knocking them out. You know, when you knock them out, you stop. Hello. Like,
right.
You have to sit there for, I think it's what, 3 minutes?
It's excessive.
And we sat here silently for 3 minutes. You never choke somebody that long. Like, that's not an accident. So well, that's,
yeah, it's premeditated at that point. And they wild. Knew coming to, oh, she's, no, she's not, motherfucker. You fucked up. You crossed
made that
line.
Up.
But there's also, and I've talked about this before too, it's intoxicating. Having that much power is intoxicating, and not everyone can handle it. There's people, and I've seen this, to where that the switch gets flipped, mm-hmm. and they're like, oh, and they get intoxicated with that power and that feeling because, you know, I'm the boss and she's the sub. And then you're like, well, now this is nothing but bad because mm-hmm. you don't know how to deal with this. You crossed the line. A switch got flipped in the bad way. And now we need to take this away from you because you don't have enough self-control not to hurt people yeah. in a bad way.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. And I think in this industry, a lot of people are given the chance to get that ego too, you know,
right.
and that's the tough part. And that's why I'm so picky about who I let do things to me. Why, even if I get booked something that's like, oh, it's a vanilla, you know, boy, girl, rougher. I'm like, who's the guy? I'm always, who's the guy?
Right.
And I have to, if it's somebody I don't like, I'll cancel. Like, it's not worth it. It's not worth the, because for me, also being a switch,
right.
half the time when people that aren't you or mogul or somebody who knows what they're doing taught me,
right.
I am eye rolling the whole time in my head. Because I'm like, motherfucker, you're doing this wrong. You're hitting me in places you're not supposed to be hitting me. I know these things because I worked in a dungeon for 2 years and a dom of 28 years.
My ears ringing because you didn't slap my face. You slapped the socket on my fucking head.
Or you're hitting my kidneys. Like, what right. are you doing? You know? So, like, it's almost frustrating sometimes to sub as, like, when you've topped well before because you're just like, what the fuck are you doing with yourself, you know?
And like I said, it's the fucking ego.
Always the ego. Always.
So I brought this up in Reddit before, but I'm going to read it again because this is something that I've got and it's been pinned. Even with the movie, like I promoted the movie on my Twitter and then instantly went and found this and pinned it because it's been up since June 6th of 2019. Because so many people are trying to step into the BDSM world. And, you know, and I've said this before too, that there's plenty of room at the table. But be smart and be safe about what you're doing. Don't come in here and thinking, oh, well, I saw JP do it or Mogul do it or whomever.
Yep.
Or, you know, Five or whoever. Since if they can do it, I can do it. Motherfucker, no, you can't.
So not true. Yeah.
So, and it kind of bugged me because I saw so many people at this point trying to take and do. And I'm sure there's lifestylers. They're like, well, JP, you're exploiting the lifestyle. Well, you know what? It's either me represent all of us or some of these other fuckheads.
I was just about to say, if it's not you, then it's somebody who's not as good as you.
Right. So sorry, guys. Mm-hmm. I wrote the difference between us and them is, just making sure because there's a nudity, I'll put my thumb over it. The difference between us and them is we're professionals and they're wannabes. It's a skill that took years to learn. BDSM is more than a fad to sell your porn. That's what I wrote. And I keep it up there and I got a great picture I'll show you later, but then I thought I was funny with my hashtags. I always think I'm funny with these. So it's bondage, safety first, consent is everything. These are the fun ones. Stay in your lane.
Stay in your lane is good.
Get back on the porch and leave it to the pros.
Well, I mean, you find the lie and tell me where it is because there's no lie in that. It's true. The thing.
And again, I know, and I've said it before, it's a big table and you can come sit with me all day long and I don't care, but don't act like you're better than me. Unless you've been around the people that have been around longer than me that are doing it aren't really doing it anymore.
Right.
So at this point, unless you are in this industry and not just like in, you know, BDSM, but like in the adult industry doing bondage porn, don't come at me with this, oh, well, I got this and I can do it. No, the fuck you can't. And don't bring in these fucking half-wits that don't know what they're doing. And I'm not saying that they do. Mm-hmm. And I think from what I understand, most of them are stepping in and trying to do this, they're doing well enough and they're not doing anything on the level that I do it, but it's still, it's the, if I were to pull up on someone else and go on, go sit, for instance, to use the same analogy, if I go sat at their table, I'd sit down and I'd listen and I'd watch. Right. And I would make sure that I was staying in the lines like you're supposed to. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't fucking over anybody or doing something mm-hmm. I wasn't supposed to. Totally. Because it doesn't take much to get chewed up and spit out.
No, and it's really, especially in what we're talking about, even in the lifestyle, but in our industry too, it's so easy.
Yeah.
Like it's, when I tell people how long I've been shooting, they're like, wow, that's impressive. Cause that normally isn't a thing in porn, right. You know, like 7 years. So it's like, it's easy to just, like you said, be chewed up and spit out for sure.
So, yeah, but that's my thing. Like I said, I welcome anybody that's trying to do it. And because especially if you look at some of the mainstream, and I'm not talking about anyone specific. So anybody that thinks I'm throwing shade, I'm not. I'm just saying that there's people who don't do the things that they should do and then come in and try and pull off, I'm a director or producer, and they're not. And then people get hurt, and you take someone who just got here, this brand new girl or boy,
right,
who's like, I really want to try this, and this is a smaller company because they don't feel worthy or whatever it is to even apply at kink yet. And then they get a fucking bad experience and it's ruined. They never want to do it again because of some bag of shit.
Which is why I'm thankful that most of my first ones have been with kink directors. Because who knows? Like I could have done something with X and O's and whoever, whatever. Right. And just totally, I could see where I'd leave a bad taste in my mouth. I've had plenty of bonded shoots that I'm like, okay, I'm never going to go work with that guy again. For example, right. A guy in fucking Delaware once. He was so, his rope work was so tight, which is fine. I can take, at the time I could take that. I can't anymore, really.
Right.
I could take that, but just put me in a hog tie with my elbows tied together, then he had put a pillow under my chest to tie the hog tie. I thought that was just to hold me while he tied it.
Right.
He tied me so tight, my hair to my, to my feet. And then when he done pulled the pillow out from under me, I rocked, like literally was like rocking. And I could not, these clips are, all it is you struggling for 10 to 12 minutes. I couldn't fucking move.
Right.
The whole clip is me sitting. I couldn't move my head even because my hair's tied. I'm just sitting looking at the camera going, which was very fucking real at that point. Right. Like I was like, dude, like, and not, I wouldn't have a problem with the tough because it, I get it. It's a genre, like tough bondage. But he never asked me once if I was okay. Never once asked me, are you're okay? The rope's all right. Everything's okay. And I'm like, I will never go back and shoot with you again.
And that's the thing with the people that have that very specific fetish of something that's mm-hmm. they get there because they're getting off to it. And not to say that like what I do, I'm not enjoying or I'm not like, you know, aroused in any way.
That's okay.
But when you start neglecting who you're working with and the person who's.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because you're getting too deep into it.
Exactly.
And then it gets weird.
In the fetish little community, we have we call the term GWC, guy with camera. Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with being a guy with camera. You're smart. To be honest, that's a smart thing. If you want to find a ploy to shoot your fetish or whatever, but be fucking respectful about it.
Right.
I don't give a shit as long as you're not going to hurt, like murder me or whatever. I don't care. I'll work with anybody as long as they're, you know, going to be good to me. Going to be good to me. Yeah, exactly. You know, there's nothing worse than being tied up in the most uncomfortable positions, literally like feeling like you're panicking in your mind that whole time and then being untied and not even them being like, you need water, you need anything. Like just, all right, so next we're going to do, I'm like, I should have said next I'm going to fucking walk out, but I was young and didn't really have a backbone.
Right.
Now I would be like, listen here, motherfucker.
Right.
You know, but that's just, you got to weed them out, you know? So
well, it's on the professional level. I feel like that there's, that we doing BDSM for the most part, put more effort into making sure you're comfortable on the level that I'm at with kink and, you know, with the other companies that are doing the things that are more reputable. You have this effort being put in by us because we know what we're doing, and it seems like the more extreme the model has to put up with the stuff, the more effort we, and I know my crew, and I've been on other sets, other kink directors, and obviously you know how the way we are, Desco and I, but even like I said, the other sets, it's like you get, you're catered to more, you're taken care of, here's a rope. Excuse me. Here's a robe. Here's shoes. Here's some snacks. Do you need me to get you anything? Let me go fill up your water.
So whereas attentive.
Being in more mainstream porn, you get the, hey, we're going to do lunch at, you know, 12:30. We'll have the PA come around and give you a thing. You need to bring your own water. You need to bring your own clothes, your own robe, your own entertainment. A lot of the times you are driving yourself or getting your own thing. Uber. And I mean, it's.
Yeah, it's a.
It's a different. We're a lot more attentive, I feel like, in the BDSM production.
Absolutely. I would 100% agree. I think that a lot of mainstream companies, like porn companies at least, are getting better about that. Right. I have noticed over the past like year or two, there is more things readily available. There is people actually asking you things. But don't, dude. There is no. In my opinion, there's no company there's no company that's been more attentive than kink, in right. my opinion, because obviously it's a different realm too. You're dealing with things that require more of an attentive,
right?
You know, because like again, going back to what I was just saying, I've definitely been on the rougher or like hard bonded shoots where they aren't attentive, and that will fuck with the model's performance and her mood.
Right.
I won't be as good if I'm just like in my head, you know, about, and then that makes it sound like I'm being like, oh, be about me. But no, you know what? Like sometimes it does need to be about.
It does. That. There's a difference between being attentive to a model and taking care of the model and making sure she has what she needs and allowing her to be a diva. There's a difference.
Totally.
Like if you come on set and you demand shit, diva. But if you come on set and are like, hey, can I have some water? And like, you didn't bring your own. That's not being a diva. You're just asking.
Dude, I know. It's just so funny. How are you going to expect people to walk into a fucking 10-hour day or some shit and not have water for them? Like, right. this is like inhumane.
And obviously, we're not talking about a majority by any means. This is a small, guy with camera kind of thing. You don't walk on to like, you know, Brazzers sets or anything like that and deal with that kind of shit.
No,
like,
absolutely
so.
Not. All the good companies have their shit together, but there's definitely some where you're just like, okay. Like I'm not going to name drop, but I shot for a big company in the one day and with a very well endowed man, they didn't have lube for me. They had KY jelly. I said, absolutely fucking not.
Right.
And they had some, KY jellies. Don't use it. It's not good.
I'll never sponsor it.
Yeah, no.
It's, back it.
And then they had some, like, I've never seen it. Just some, it smelled and tasted like cinnamon. I'm like, I'm not putting that on my... So literally, they're
so
like...
So it was flavored. On top of it not being a good lube.
Yeah, well, no. So they had two, and those were the two they had. KY and that.
Oh, so you had KY that... Okay.
And then I'm like, so you guys don't have coconut oil or silicone or a different water? And they're like, no. And they're like, well, do you want us to like go get it? And the way they said it, like, and I'm like, literally, I was like, nope, let's go. And the whole time in the scene, I'm like riding reverse cowgirl and I'm like slapping it on, like just literally yeah. gagging my face with my hand and slapping it on because I was like, you know what? Like, yeah, you know, you want to treat me like I'm being a diva for needing something. And now this is a couple of years ago. Now I usually have my own lube because you learn, but you
right.
know, shit like that should be provided. If you're asking me to take a fucking 10 inch dick girth even of my fucking, arm,
even a 4-inch cock, you
exactly.
know,
exactly.
Because at the end of the day, it's called a performance. Yes. You're not, I mean, you are fucking, but you can't get wet for every man just because he's like, okay, action. And you're like, oh, look at my pussy just Ooh. Poured out. Like it doesn't happen that way. And I mean, it's I don't care who you are and what kinds of buttons to push. Like I walked in and you're naked and it's on one of my sets. Like I'm either going to rub and get you stimulated, but I'm also aware enough that I'm like, if I try and penetrate, oh, there's nothing there. I either step off and go get that lube you were talking about, or I stick my hand in your mouth for you mm-hmm. because you're tied up and you can't.
Exactly.
So it amazes me sometimes when I hear stories like that. Cause I'm like, why, how would you not? But again, there's not necessarily big company, but directors, especially at my level, when I say my level that have been doing this as long that, you know, 15, 20, 20 plus years, they show up. These guys show up, and gals, also females. These people show up. They experience the old school ones, and they show up, and they bring toilet paper with them to replace when they're on a location. They bring fucking yes. paper towels. They bring
yes.
all of these things. And you've been on locations with me also, and mm-hmm. you don't show up with lights and a camera and go, let's go.
Nope.
Like, you go in, and you have to show up, like I said, because if you're on a location, you replenish the things you take. You leave the place nicer than you left, than it was. But then there's some of the new schools that just they run in and run out.
And for me, it's like, okay, yeah, you don't have the lube I want. Instead of them being like, well, what do you want us to go get it? That's where they should be like, well, hold tight. What do you want? We'll go get it. Instead of making me feel like a fucking asshole for wanting simple, basic things that you should have. Like,
I may not be able to get you the super high-end stuff that's at the sex store because we're in a weird location, but I can run to CVS.
Fine. Yeah, go to a CVS. Get me coconut oil. You can get that at any goddamn grocery store. Right. You know, just they... You know, the wordings, the way that people treat you.
It's
know.
A tone. Oh God, what do you want? Do I need
so
to go
do you
get
like
you something?
Need this? I'm like, well, no, I don't. It's fine. I'm gonna fucking kill this scene and then never shoot for you guys again. How about that?
Yeah, bring me Mandingo and he's gonna go on my ass with no lube. Thanks. Okay.
Right. Yeah. Right. Luckily, it wasn't ass, but it was.
Have you ever worked with that guy?
Yeah.
He's on camera. That motherfucker looks huge. Is he big in person? Because I know obviously he's big.
I think that he's big. But have you seen Dredd?
That motherfucker's ridiculous. I've done
you know, that too.
I didn't know. Holy shit. I saw him last year, I think it was at AVN. And I walk around a corner and I think I've told this story before on the podcast. I come around a corner and he's standing there with Jules. And Jules is a tall guy. He's not tiny, but he's not a tall guy.
Yeah.
And it looks like a parody with him standing next to Jules.
It really does.
I'm 6'4". I'm not a little motherfucker by any. I'm a big guy. And when I come around and I see anybody at the size that fucking Dredd is, they stand out because I'm like, this motherfucker. And I don't know how tall he is, but
tall.
I'm going to look it up. But he's definitely bigger than me.
And he's such a nice guy, too. He's
everyone.
Really,
I've
he's
heard
a really
nothing
nice
but good
guy.
Stuff.
Same with I love Mandingo, too. I love them both, actually. So, yeah, I think he's definitely the biggest penis I've ever experienced.
Dredd is?
Actually, Dredd or... this guy I worked with named Julio Gomez. They were both really big. But I still think Dredd's bigger. I don't know. It's hard to say.
Sorry, I'm waiting for pages to load over here.
Oh, you're fine. I was just thinking about the arm length penises I've taken over the years. The sad music starts playing.
I know. Let me see. Do I have any sad music?
Just me like just staring off like. R.I.P. to my cervix.
Yeah, I don't think I have any, like, sad music.
Well, next time, maybe you'll have one for me.
No, I don't have anything. Oh, I do have something that if you were to introduce a dick like that, you could probably be like... Dredd.
The way you said it was perfect. I thought it was programmed for a second. I was like, no. Did he have this ready?
That's my radio voice when I'm not just doing the thing.
It was good. I clearly don't have one.
So hold on. I'm still
looking. Yeah, he's tall. He's
Dredd's height and size. Dredd. Do they seriously have this? Let's go see.
I bet you they do. They have like our heights and sizes. Why wouldn't they have his, you know?
Did you know he went by Darkzilla for a while?
No.
Well, that's what it says on this forum that I'm on.
I believe it, but no, I had no idea. That's a hell of a name.
Isn't it? Okay, here he is. Let's see. Jesus, I'm gonna make sure these pictures are being shown.
I know, I'm like, uh-oh.
It's pretty, you know what? I'll tell you what. So there's not a bunch of silence. If you guys want to know that bad, go look it up yourself.
Yeah, go look it up, but I might look it up later. He's tall.
I think I'm 6'4", and I think he's probably 6'8", maybe.
I was going to guess close to 7, yeah. He's a tall man. He's big. He's super sweet, though, yeah. I work with a lot of awesome talents that have been around for a long time, and they're so nice. Mandingo's so quiet. He's like a quiet... reserved. The first time I worked with him, the director was like, just pre-warning you, if he doesn't seem like overly friendly, he kind of does his own thing. Like he goes in and goes to his own room and kind of chills before the scene. Don't take it personally because it has nothing to do with you. He just got a flow.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, cool. And he did that. He went right to his room. But then by the second and third time we worked together, he had like warmed up to me and like wouldn't go hide in the room the whole time. But like just such a quiet, nice guy.
That's really cool.
Very humble seeming.
All right, young lady, what I like to do, because we're going to wrap this up, so you can get out of here.
We've rambled for a while, I feel
we
like.
Have. let me see how far we're pretty deep into this. We're an hour and a half.
I was going to say, yeah, it's been a little bit.
So the way I wrap these up is with a little advice.
Ooh, okay. Sorry, I'll take some advice.
I wasn't giving it. I was hoping you would.
I was like, I'll take all the advice I can get.
You have a little tip, don't cross the road when you see me coming. I'm just kidding. so what we do is like... because there's not a lot of information out there for people coming into the industry. So I'm trying to figure, like, get a compilation of people who've been doing this for a while, like with on the podcast. Like, if you could say something to someone coming in the industry, what piece of advice would you give to them?
Probably be very, very, very aware that this everybody will find out. I think a lot of girls go into it with the conception like, I'm just going to hide it and everything will be fine. I'm just going to do a few. No, bitch, everybody's going to see it. Right. So I always say that, like, just be fully, fully conscious of the fact that everybody will see it and it will stick with you forever.
It's going to follow you forever.
Forever. You're never going to not be looked at in certain ways, and you're never not going to have the people like giving you those weird, you know, like, you sure you don't want to do anything else? Like, there's always going to be that. So I know I could probably give a way better answer, but just off the top of my head is like, definitely know that you want to do, like, it's something you want to do, and you're not going to look back and be like, fuck, I really wish I didn't do that, because now it's there forever.
Yeah.
Forever.
Especially the way Google now says, oh, here's so-and-so, here's your full name and where you're from. So there's not the ambiguity. Is that the word I'm looking for? Is that the right one?
Maybe. And do your research too, I guess, is another piece of that. Like, yeah. don't, you know, just like, it's very easy, I think, now to do your research enough to where, like, there's a bunch of good agencies. You can see what girls are with who. Like, don't go with some Craigslist person, please. Don't get hurt.
Yeah, because all of the big companies, we don't advertise on Craigslist. No, we don't look for models. Yeah, if you go on Craigslist and you see an advertisement, and this was happening for a while, probably about four or five years ago, we had people get in touch with us, and like, our lawyer was calling Kink, and they were like, what the fuck is going on? Why are you guys? And we're like, we're not advertising on fucking Craigslist. There were people who it was looking legit. Like, it was looking really super legit. But we obviously knew it was bullshit.
Oh, of course. But some poor 19-year-old girl from Ohio might not.
They were fishing. And apparently it almost, and I forget how deep it went. I was stepped back from it because we had lawyers and people taking care of it and our publicist. But it was at one point, it was one of those situations where, like, they were everywhere.
That's terrifying. Because you got to think, yeah. That makes my true crime mind just wander, because it's like,
the fuck are you doing?
Like, what are you doing? And if somebody has fallen for it, what have you done?
Right. There's the thing too. It's like the Danny Daniels talks about this a lot. Here I go plugging her again. I love you, Danny.
I love you, Danny. Miss you.
She talks about a lot as the guana. I think that's where a lot of the bullshit comes from, where it's like, your cadence lux, and then they're going to sit there and they're going to create a cadence lux with an extra whatever, or they'll take a letter out, and then they mimic you. And anytime that happens, because for that to look legit, you've worked with me and you've tagged me anything, well, they'll go back and tag me.
Oh yeah.
Bitch, don't tag me, because I'll report you.
Right.
I'll report every one of you motherfuckers.
Yeah, I do too.
But it's this thing where once they copy it enough, then they sit there and go, hey, this, I know you're my number one fan. And they go find their followers and start hitting them up and talking about, can you just send me a little money?
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. And
the amount
people,
of time and effort.
Danny told me that people have actually come at her and her husband.
I'm sure.
Like, tried to come at them legally. Like, had done enough work to come at them and say, you fucking owe me money. You stole my money. And so she goes on rants probably once every 3 to 6 months on her social media. It was like, stop being stupid. Stop. There's a check mark next to my fucking name.
Yeah.
Read what it says. Pay attention to what you're doing. Stop giving these motherfuckers money. Because all of the real porn stars, they don't need your fucking money.
Yeah, we're not going to ask for it either. I mean, we might need it. Feel free to send me some money. But, we're not going to be like, hey, babe, here's my, you know, that's not something we do. The only time that happens is if somebody reaches out, asks for something they want, and then you say, oh, this is what it's going to be. Yeah, no, I see so many girls now tweeting like, don't fall for it. Luckily, maybe I'm not cool enough to have imposters. I'm like, I know that I've had fake Twitter accounts, but I've never had anybody come to me, luckily, don't do it. And, right. And be like, I gave you money. Like, no, you do. That's how it's
Yeah, and it sucks. So it's, yeah, that's the unfortunate part is like, it's like, do your fucking research. I say it all the time. Do your fucking research.
Yes.
Don't fall for shit. Don't just assume, because there's not to say that there's not going to be like a GoFundMe, like a girl or boy may set something up because it's just whatever reason they may need. But make sure it's the right person that you're asking. And it's the same thing with coming into this industry. Like, make sure you're smart enough.
Please.
And, yeah.
Please. Yeah, absolutely. Know your worth.
Exactly. All righty. I think that's it. This is a good one. This is a nice and long one.
That was fun.
You were amazing. You were awesome.
Thanks. Hopefully I'll be back again.
Yeah, hopefully sooner than last time.
I know.
We waited a little too long.
Hey, listen, I think it was like the one time I shot with you and you were like, every like 6 months, I'll just harp on you every 6 months now. You'll just get a message from me. Hey, it's been 6 months.
Get it. That's the best thing. Just fucking.
I'm not even kidding.
Plus, you know the producer. So hit her up and be like, hey, it's been 6 months, friend.
She knows. And she likes me. So that's good. Yeah. Yay. Well, thank you.
You were awesome. And I'm sitting here looking at the board like I've got some kind of outro music, but I do that all in post. Well, I've got the.
Is that cool? I made one for you.
That was cool. I've got a. Oh, yeah, I've got my theme music here.
I keep touching the side and people on the podcast. I'm not farting. I swear it's the chair.
So this is the way it ends. I usually put it in post and then it drops. Ready? It's so long. I'm just going to let it play for a second and then I'll put the real one in because I do it all in post.
But okay. You guys,
not bad, right?
I fuck with it.
So, all right, that'll happen again for anybody that's listening and goes on and on. I set it up on this thing, but I'm like, I'm never going to push it and put it in there. You were awesome. Thank you so much. We'll see you next time.
Yeah, awesome.
See ya.
Bye, guys.